Well, good morning, everybody. Everyone, good morning. Am I taping, Karen? Okay, good. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming. This is where the rubber hits the road. But you know what? Here's one thing I got to say about all of you. You're courageous people. Because as I was saying yesterday, is that what we first experience when we dream big is we start stepping in faith, knowing that the Lord will always, he can never bless this, but he can bless this. And so when we start making those steps of faith, and we push through those smart bombs that first they hit us, especially when it comes to moving in the prophetic outside of the church. We experience those smart bombs, and they're directly from the realm of torment, from Satan himself, because he's territorial, as we all know. And he doesn't like to lose, although he's the ultimate loser. And so when we take what we've learned and we start moving in the prophetic outside of the church, we are intentionally going after territory. And he holds on to people through what the bishop was saying yesterday in terms of depression, any type of sickness. Theologically, just here's the statement, is that God is not the author of sickness. Everybody agrees with that, right? Does everybody agree with that? Okay. Sickness is not, there's no cancer in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's no rheumatoid arthritis in heaven. So it's all authored by Satan himself to kill, steal, and destroy, John 10:10. So as I said, when we begin to move in the prophetic, and what is the prophetic outside of the church? Everything that we learned over the last couple of days in terms of dreaming and vision, it simply becomes an application for the benefit of another outside of the four walls of the church. Yeah, so yes, the testimony of Jesus, what is the spirit of prophecy? Or the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And the reason why heaven wants us to move is because there's the abiding of the gospel. You know, salvation, it says the walls around us are salvation. In the psalmist, he wrote that. So there's the abiding of the gospel. We come to Christ, and as Christ was dedicated at the temple, and then he was baptized by John. But at the same time, he was then filled with the Spirit and operated as a Spirit-filled man, voluntary laying aside, theological word is kenosis, voluntarily laying aside his right to operate out of his divinity. And so everything that he did on earth, he did as we are, Spirit-filled men and women. And so when we step into this arena, as I said, is when we start doing what he actually modeled for us. And so he was very successful. Acts 10, it talks about he went around doing good and healing everyone that he encountered. And so as we step in faith into this role that he has modeled for us, we can anticipate those smart bombs of fear. But as we continue to step through them, guess what happens? Is they dissipate. They flee because he's the ultimate loser. And when we begin to move in the power of the gospel, we got the abiding part, salvation, but we become Spirit-filled, we start moving in and demonstrating the realm of the kingdom, which is always power over sin and sickness. And so when we step into this, when we start activating the power of the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to set prisoners free and set them free from all of those torments, all of those things that steal, kill, and destroy. I had a meeting with, I was at a healing meeting before I came here, and there's a woman that came in, and for an entire year, by another member of the family, she's been holding her in this prison of shame and guilt, and unfortunately, the other person that's doing it is a Christian, or calls himself a Christian. And so I ended up explaining to her that she's just been held in a prison, so she needs to walk in forgiveness, and we're going to break off shame and guilt. And so she's sitting there, and I could see the countenance on her face change. There's just, like, there's a wave of joy started to just rise up in her. She came in bawling her eyes out, and she left with smiling and laughing and carrying on. So when we step into this arena, when we start to move in taking what we've learned in the prophetic, and the prophetic is simply what calling forth, going into the valley of dry bones and calling forth the gold in people's lives. So as we've heard over the last couple of days, everybody has a destiny that's God-breathed. God had a dream, and that dream he put in each and every one of us. And so as we begin to dream, as we've heard, as we begin to walk out the destiny that God has for each and every one of us, it all is encapsulated for another, setting people free. And the benefit that comes for us is found in John 16. And here it is, if you just turn here. Because the Father has a dream. The Father has a dream for each and every one of us. And here's the Father's dream. We've been at a dream conference. Does everybody want to know what the Father's dream is? Yeah. I'm in John 16. Here's the Father's dream. We begin reading in verse 23. In that day, you will question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. There's the Father's dream for each and every one of us, is that your joy may be full. And so the kingdom currency, and I referred to this yesterday, the kingdom currency, that the joy set before him, Jesus did what? Endured the cross. And so the kingdom currency of joy is what we release when we move and push past the fear that will always impact us and start beginning to walk in faith and bringing the power of the kingdom where there is no sickness, no disease, and only abundance on earth, as you saw in Dr. Mike's shirt, is that our joy, we release that kingdom currency to that person, and what always happens is that we get filled with joy too. So in releasing joy, the Father's dream for us is realized, because joy ends up becoming part of, it'll just rise in you. I'll tell you a story. I had gone to Winn-Dixie up on Dallas Avenue, and so when I was walking up, and there was a car pulled up, and there was a woman in the back seat, and she was, as I was coming up behind the car, she was really struggling getting out of the car, and I thought, whoa. So I walked up to her, and then I saw that she had a brace, you know, those crutch. She had a pair of crutches. And so I walked up, and I thought, oh, she had just got her crutch stuck in the door. And as I got up, I could see her face was so contorted in pain. She was in so much pain that I went up behind her, and I basically lifted her out of the car. Her daughter came around, and we carried her into Winn-Dixie and put her in one of those scooters, you know, the ones you drive around and put the groceries in the front. And so I ended up saying to her, said, so see, now I got to put myself at risk. And so when you put yourself at risk, guess what wakes up? Heaven. The fact that you've now put yourself at risk. Because heaven is always attracted to faith. Faith is the landing zone. It's the runway for Holy Spirit to come in, land in a situation, and then release the kingdom of heaven. So she's in the scooter now, her face still contorted with pain. So the first thing I said to her, I said, has anybody prayed for you? She said, no, nobody's prayed for me. I said, do you know Jesus? She said, yes, I do. I went, oh, okay. Because it's always easier to see kingdom of heaven released into a person if they don't know Jesus. I've seen situations where professed witches have ended up, one witch prayed for another witch, and the witch, the one that got prayed for, got set free and healed. So see, God is not, he's on the throne, he's not nervous. He's the King of glory. He wants everybody. So this lady sitting there, so I didn't need a prophetic word, did I? It was obvious what was going on. It was just simply discernment. You could see the pain in her face. And I guess probably when you step into the situation and put yourself at risk, then what you're about to release, you've attracted heaven, faith is released, and Holy Spirit's going to land on that runway. And so I asked her the question, does anybody pray for you? Do you know Jesus? Yes, I know Jesus. I said, well, then I made a statement of boldness. Well, you're going to encounter Jesus today. He's going to meet you right now. And as a result of meeting you right now, your life will be changed forever. You'll have a new understanding of the Savior that you profess to know and believe in. And your daughter will see. And so I prayed a really short prayer. Father, I thank you. As Jesus prayed when he healed, when he raised that the girl from the dead. Father, I thank you that you hear our prayers. Father, I thank you for healing power. In the name of Jesus, I command, I take authority over this pain, and I command it to go from 10 being the level, I command it to go from 10 to 0 in the name of Jesus. Amen. Really short prayer. And then I could see on her face, her countenance was beginning to change. And I said, how is it now? She said, it's going down. I said, okay, I'm going to pray again. So I prayed the same prayer. Well, by this time, before I even said the amen to the second prayer, she's standing up, gets out of the scooter, stands up, and starts running around where the cashiers are in Winn-Dixie, trying to make it hurt. Her daughter's standing over off to the side, crutches in the shopping cart with her mouth hanging open, saying, what did you do to my mother? And I said, I didn't do anything to your mother, but I can tell you who did. Jesus just healed her. And so, in that release, Now, there was, as I said, Selma, everybody knows Jesus in Selma. So of all the people that were there, and it was, the store was busy. Holy Spirit was looking for the one who would step, create that runway of faith for Holy Spirit to land on and to release the kingdom of heaven. It only takes the one. So what happened? Joy was released. She was running around the grocery store. I can't believe it. The pain is really gone. It's really gone. I said, yes, I know. I can see it on your face. Your face is not contorted anymore. I said, praise Jesus, amen. And her daughter's standing. I mean, she couldn't say anything, except she said one thing. What did you do to my mother? Her mouth's hanging open. And this is all in a busy store at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But Jesus was looking, and Jesus is always looking for the one. And so a lot of times when you encounter, it becomes obvious. There was no, I didn't have to like rely on anything prophetic. It was obvious. It was standing right in front of me. The pain was visible. But you can, here's where the prophetic operates. When you take this outside of the church to have the kingdom released, and so the joy is released. So it's all the way home. All the way home after that encounter, she got set free. I can't even begin to explain to you the joy that was in my heart. And what was just pumping up from my heart and just causing my heart and my mind to explode was crazy praise. I didn't know I could do that. It just erupted out of me. So that was the Holy Spirit. I must have looked like, you know, if anybody drove by my truck as I'm driving down Dallas Avenue, they would have thought I was nuts. My hands were going, my voice was going, I was going, hallelujah, Jesus. But it just exploded because that kingdom joy, as it was released, it always blesses us. So whenever we receive anything of the kingdom, it doesn't end here. It's not for this. It's not for Mark. It's always to flow through. It's always for the benefit of another. And so so that was one encounter I had. So it was obvious. It was, you know, I didn't have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, highlight somebody. I didn't have to look for a tattoo. I didn't have to look and ask Holy Spirit, you know, just highlight somebody, reveal something, let me see something, give me a word of knowledge, tell me about something, somebody in this aisle. But there are times when that will happen. You can be in an aisle, there can be people around you, and I'll guarantee you this. Here's one thing that you can know, is that everybody on this planet has a level of pain somewhere between 1 and 10, 10 being the worst. And most times, everybody's got 10 pain somewhere. And so that's what we go after. So how do you encounter? How do you break in? That's where you rely upon the Holy Spirit. You can ask, and this becomes a lifestyle. It becomes something that we do all the time, is that no matter where you are, you know, we don't have to like set up a thing so that we all go out together. This can be just something that you'll run into it. If you ask Holy Spirit to open your eyes, the eyes of your heart, to allow you to see as he sees, then you'll find yourself in situations because he'll bring him across your path, because Jesus is sitting, elbowing the Father in heaven. Hey, we got one here. You attract the promises of heaven when you start stepping in this kind of faith and releasing the prophetic. And the prophetic is simply what? What did heaven release? Joy, but it also called forth and brought forth the gold in that woman's life. Because she'll never forget that. And you know what she's going to do? She's going to do exactly what the woman did at the Samaritan well when she encountered Jesus. What did she do? Told everybody. And the whole town got set free, right? They all got salvation, came to that town before its time. So the gospel, that's the unique thing of that, John 4, is the gospel was not supposed to go to the Samaritans until after Christ was risen. So because of hunger and an unqualified woman, time shifted and salvation came to a town before its time. And so as we, so when we step, we attract heaven, and heaven will get released. Now, what happens if you step and you pray and you miss it? You miss it. Don't worry about it. You may, there's a gentleman by the name of Todd White. He's a radical street evangelist. But no, he's radical because he never stops. He prayed for 100 people before he got a breakthrough. But when he got his breakthrough, it was a big healing. So there'll be those times where you can, you know, I had two people get out of wheelchairs, and I had this woman get out of a scooter. So I got the anointing, I guess, for getting out of scooters and wheelchairs. But it really, when we operate in this, when we start obeying, and really it's obedience. Jesus set the model, so he's just calling us to begin to move and to walk in the model he set for us. And the currency of the kingdom gets released. You end up bringing forth the gold in people's lives. So in terms of the prophetic, you can just simply, as soon as you step and you put, how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Risk. That's how you spell faith. As soon as you put yourself at risk, if you've never heard God, if you've been like crying out to God, oh God, I want to hear your voice so clearly. Oh God, I want to see a picture. Oh God, I want to see highlighted color on people. As soon as you put yourself at risk, what you've been crying out for, believe me, boom, you'll hear God's voice like you've never heard it before. You'll see colors on people's heads. You'll see a tattoo will get highlighted on somebody's arm. It will just, your vision will just be cleared. And you'll be so filled with compassion that you'll push past the fear. Because what moves the goods from heaven, the open heaven above us, Isaiah 64 verse 1 has been fulfilled. Oh God, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Well, the heavens were rended when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended. So we live under an open heaven. When you step, put yourself at risk, everything you yearn for, Holy Spirit will give to you whatever you need in that situation. So it becomes a point of trusting. So when we take a step and we risk, heaven will back you up. You have to believe that. It's true. I've tested it many times. And in the testing of it, and many times, I had another example, I'll give you, when I say tattoos, how can you have a prophetic word from a tattoo? Tattoos are ink that people put on their body because really it's a cry from the dream of the Father that he's placed within them, even if they don't know and aren't walking in relationship with Jesus. Where does life begin? In the mind of God, before it's released. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So God has breathed into every person, into their DNA, purpose, destiny, and a plan, and a dream. And so a lot of times, if they're not walking in with God, is they'll mark their body. And they'll ask, you know, why did you put that? Oh, I don't know. I just was led to do it. Well, what they're doing is it's that inner call, that desire for relationship that they end up marking their body. So if you ever see a tattoo on the left-hand side, that's the life side. So if you see life from birth, there'll always be 99% of the time, if you see a dragon on the left-hand side, it means that they've probably had occultish activity. They were abused. They were been over-dominated. They had power in their life that they didn't, that was abusive. And so you can ask, when you see that, that's highlighted. So you already know they've had some kind of activity in their life that was not good. It's on the left-hand side of their body. So it's become their life from their birth up until now. So then you ask, so what do? Do you walk away from the person, say, this is like not a good one? No, you step into the situation, because now what you're going to do is you're going to flip the tattoo. How are you going to flip it? You're going to flip its meaning by the power of the prophetic. And the Holy Spirit will give you an insight into that person's life where you can take that dragon, flip its meaning, and by revelation from the Holy Spirit, because God knows everybody, they all began in his mind, and flip the meaning of that too, and call forth the gold in that person's life. And somebody who has a dragon or something that's a demonic symbol, I'll give you an example. I walked up to a girl, a beautiful young girl in Baltimore. She had the Masonic symbol, the all-seeing eye, huge tattoo on her left arm. So I automatically knew life. Right side always has to do with God. If they put a tattoo and it's like a cross and they don't know Jesus and they put it on the right-hand side, it's because that's where they're going. They're on the journey to this. So she had the all-seeing Masonic eye on her arm. So now I stepped. I put myself at risk. How do you flip the all-seeing eye on the left arm of a girl? Well, Holy Spirit knows how. I put myself at risk. I step in faith. And Holy Spirit, I walked up to her and I said, your Father in heaven sees you all the time. She turns around and starts paying attention to me now. I can see from the start. I said, that's like a really cool tattoo. You know what? And then I started asking her questions. That's like a really cool tattoo. Why'd you put that in your arm? I don't know. But my father was a Mason, 33 degree. And you know what? I just did it to honor him. I said, well, your Father in heaven, he is all seeing and all knowing. And he knows you. And here's what I believe that's in you from your Father in heaven. The reason why you put that tattoo, I know you did it to honor your father, but your Father in heaven, he sees you and knows you. And this is what I believe, is the all-seeing Father has put within you an all-seeing gift. You're able to see past the natural into the supernatural. And you're going to be able to, when you see past the natural and you see into the supernatural, you're going to be able to help people turn their lives around so they become to know the Father in heaven who sees you right now. She looks at me and she says, really? I said, yeah, really. And I said, you know where that begins? I said, with Jesus. Do you know Jesus? He knows you. He'd love and he wants a relationship with you because he loves you. Really? So I led her to Christ, and the Holy Spirit flipped the meaning of the all-seeing eye Masonic symbol. So every time she looks at that tattoo, by the prophetic, she now, every time she looks at it, she's going to think of her Father in heaven. So that's how the prophetic works outside the church. So you have to just ask God. Highlight somebody. Let me see a tattoo. Let me... Yeah. Okay. So, in this case, how was that girl highlighted? The tattoo. So, you'll see... and Holy Spirit can... He can highlight in any different way. You may see a color on somebody. You may just look at somebody and see, you know, that they've got... They've had yellow on their head. Yellow is the color of anointing. You may see somebody who's got red on their arm. That could be they have an injury. You can look at somebody and remember, once you step, Holy Spirit will allow you to see past the natural. But there will be something that draws your attention. I'll give you another example. My wife, Rosemary, received... Does everybody understand what a word of knowledge is? Okay. So she received a word of knowledge, peanut butter. So we were having church here, noon Eucharist, and she said... So she stood up. Now she took a risk. She stood up and she said, I have a word of knowledge, peanut butter. Well, everybody started laughing. So it didn't apply to anybody in the church, but she had stepped out in faith. We then, that afternoon, went out on an excursion to Walmart, like we're going to do here in a couple of seconds. And there was a girl that she got teamed up with, and it was raining that day, and she ended up saying to me as she was coming, she said, you know what? I don't like the rain. I don't like coming here. I don't like praying for people in public, but you know what, I'm here and I know the Holy Spirit's got me here. So I said, great, honey, you go with her. So they're walking through Walmart, through the food section, asking Holy Spirit to highlight somebody. Well, they come around from one aisle into the next aisle, and there is a woman with a cane. So what was the highlight? The cane. So it's like obvious stuff. You'll just, Holy Spirit will just, it'll just impact you. The highlight will always impact you. It'll just draw your attention to it. So there they are. They walk over to this woman, and Rosemary said, you know, we're here. We're just praying for people in the store. I see you have a cane. Would you like us to pray for you? Now, 99.9% of the time, people will say, okay. Very rarely will you get somebody to say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. And so she said, sure. And then you do the next thing. And don't ever touch anybody without first asking their permission. Okay? So once they say, yes, you can pray for me. And you see, you can then... You ask the question, well, where does it hurt? You know, what's the level of pain? Is it on a scale of 10? Is it 10? Sometimes people will say, no, it's not 10, it's 15. So then you go, yay, Jesus, this is going to be good. So in this case, she said it was a full-blown 10. Then they asked her, is it okay if we touch your shoulder? She said, yes, okay. So they prayed. Now, the lady who didn't want to come, hated the rain, didn't want to be there, and was completely, as she said, I'm way out of my comfort zone. The first person that Holy Spirit started to move through was Rosemary's friend, Kaylee. Because this look of shock came over her face as Rosemary was standing there looking at her as they were praying. Because the heat of the Holy Spirit, you will always sense heat when the Holy Spirit is moving. You may not sense anything, but a lot of times the person that you're praying for will experience heat, or you'll experience heat or tingling in the body. So Kaylee is feeling heat in her hand. And so her eyes go, Rosemary said, they just bugged right open. Whoa, this is working. So they ended up finishing praying for this woman. Once the pain went from 10 to 0. Rosemary turned around. They went on to find their next person. They thanked. The lady was like full of joy, and everybody was doing this happy, clappy thing. Rosemary turned around, and as she turned around, guess what? Where they were praying? Peanut butter aisle. So now she had gone and seen the aisle first. There was the highlight. Peanut butter. So then anybody close to the peanut butter, that was who God was after. But in this case, they saw the woman first. So the cane became the highlight. And God confirmed it when Rosemary turned around and she saw the peanut butter. So there's a good example of highlight. Is there? So how do you step in? You know, that's like, how do we engage? Yeah, you can say something. Sure, brother.
Since last year, George and I have been kind of doing a lot of this. And I questioned whether or not I was supposed to say anything because you were handling it, but it's really simple to engage. How many of y'all are in business? How do you meet somebody that you've never met before?
Oh, I don't know how these work. Okay. How do you engage someone in your business? What's the first thing you do when you walk up to someone you don't know? Hello. My name's John. It's really that easy. I noticed you have a limp. He's talking about highlighting. Look for simple things. Limps, casts on arms, canes. Wheelchairs are pretty obvious. Walkers. It's not necessarily that it's, you know, some of you have seeing gifts already released. It may be really elevated. You may see things literally highlighted in color. Sometimes I just see a limp and I feel compassion. I feel moved. That guy's not supposed to be walking with a limp. He's supposed to be whole. And then that's like, oh, okay, that's why I'm here. Gotcha. The other thing. Two things. Take off that I feel like I'm supposed to share. Take off the first. How many of you here are from Selma that live here? Okay. Everyone else, this isn't your town. You can embarrass yourself and blame it on the fact that you're from out of town. You're not from here. Great place to learn. Great place to make a fool of yourself. Because there's no reputation at stake here. The rest of you from Selma, hang out with him. I kid. Really, there's not that big of a step between being an out-of-towner and being in your hometown. But it took me hitting Zaxby's here and then going back to Fairfield and hitting the park. And hitting his front porch and hitting other places to realize that this is what we're supposed to be doing all the time anyway. The second thing is, our job isn't to convert people. Our job is to sow seed. Some sow seed, some water, some nurture, and then some reap harvest. Just concentrate today on sowing seed and let Holy Spirit take it where it goes. And just it takes the pressure off of you. You don't feel like you have to do anything but put a seed in the ground. And that's really simple. You're just starting something. And the Lord's going to start something in you. The days that led up to the Zaxby story, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about. The picture that God gave me of myself was the little bitty snowball at the top of the mountain. And he dinked, and the little thing started rolling, and it starts building up momentum. By the time it gets to the bottom of the hill, it's starting an avalanche. It happens like that. So today is your little dink. Don't worry about trying to do big things. God doesn't need big things. He wants the small, this step. It's that one step toward the person with the limp. And you're just saying, hi, I'm John. Well, don't say, but hi, you're introduce yourself. And I noticed that you've got this. George and I pray a lot together. And he does that pain scale thing, and it's awesome. Not because we've done this before. We prayed with people without doing the pain scale, and they don't. What it does, it gives them a plumb line for what God's about to do in their life. When we go into it without that, they go, oh, I wasn't really hurting that bad to begin with. And it's hard for them to standardize or to evaluate what God just did. But when you put a scale to it and they go, oh, I'm hurting at a 10. Wait a second, now I'm hurting at a 3. Okay, that builds faith. That releases faith in those situations. So that's a really good tool that I'm thankful that I pray with George a lot, because I tend to rush in, like, ooh, let's, you know, I go, goody, 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 I get to pray for somebody. And then George is like, now, where's it hurting and how bad is it hurting? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, we got to do that first. And it's a very important step, though. Don't skip it.
Amen. So, yeah, good points. Thanks, brother. Glad you shared those. These guys are like awesome.
We were with them at Zaxby's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're like awesome. As my friend Bob Armstrong says, they drank the Kool-Aid and now they're convicted. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, just one sec. So I just want to make some concluding points because we got to get to the store. And Walmart's a great place to be on Saturday because there should be lots of people there. So always try and establish. Everybody's got. So the thing is that what we're going after is pain. Everybody's got pain in their body. So then, as he was saying about George, you know, ask some questions. Like, just ask. And they'll volunteer information. And the encounter, how you encounter, is just be friendly. You know, like, it's not, and don't look at the people as a project. Okay? We're not going to Walmart project hunting. We're going to Walmart to release the kingdom of heaven on God's people. And love is our motivation. And what moves the goods from heaven to earth is compassion. I've got a testimony I can tell you about that, but for the sake of time, I won't. So compassion is what we're doing, is releasing heaven through compassion. And it's not project-oriented. They're people that God loves, and God wants to encounter them so they have a deeper understanding of his love. And that's why we do what we do. The model was set for us. We're simply walking in obedience to what Jesus already did. And when we step into obedience and when we put ourselves at risk, heaven answers. Heaven will always answer. You can leave a person still after you. And the thing is, too, is when you encounter, you can pray as many times as the person wants you to. So you can pray more than once. You can pray more than twice. You can pray more than three times. Most people they won't let you go more past three or four. And if the pain is still at a 10, just, you know, thank them that it was a pleasure meeting them, And you don't know what's going to happen after you leave. So, and if you realize, if you don't have that breakthrough and the pain is still at a 10 and it hasn't decreased after praying 3 or 4 times, you love on the person, you walk away, you don't know what Holy Spirit's going to do. But the underlying principle that it should create within you is what was displayed by the Samaritan woman. See, salvation came to her town before its time because she was hungry. And so when we don't have breakthrough and a person remains in 10, or we pray for somebody who's got cancer and they don't get healed, it shouldn't discourage you. It should make you want to push in harder, make you hungrier, so the next time you'll see the breakthrough. Amen? Okay, sister, you have that.
Yesterday, this confirms something you just said, plus something that Chuck said. Yesterday, in the afternoon service, I had a vision of a lot of people with their arms stretched out, as in praise. And there was like redness, a light color redness on a lot of them, but mostly those in the forefront. But then God had diamonds all around them, sparkly diamonds. And two things, you said the red, and then he talked about that's angels. So I believe that God is confirming what you mentioned about the red and what Chuck mentioned yesterday about the light and the, you know, diamonds and glowing being angels. So I really believe that's God. That's God.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, is heaven's full of angels. We don't worship angels.
No.
We worship Jesus.
Amen.
But because we have the authority of Jesus, guess what we have the authority to do? We have the authority to command angels. And in the name of Jesus, they'll fly. And they'll come into situations. I've had evangelistic people say that before they go into an area, they will, in the name of Jesus, before they go to do their campaign, is they'll command one fellow, Carlos Andacondia, Argentinian revival, before he ever went into an area, and he had massive healings, massive evangelism, it was the Argentinian revival. He would command, in the name of Jesus, legions of angels into an area before he hit the ground. And when he hit the ground, the area was cleaned out. So they saw a lot of breakthrough, obviously, Argentinian revival. So we have that authority in Christ. When we do things, as I said yesterday, God moves through us. And when we, in this type of situation, he's moving through us, and we get to understand who we are in Jesus and who Jesus is in us. We know the authority that we carry in Christ. And there are other times where God does something for us. He moves through us. And other times where we don't do anything because we're sitting simply resting. And in one case, God is displaying the authority we have. In another case where he simply moves through us and we really haven't done anything, is he's displaying for us who we are as sons and daughters of inheritance. So, and he always works on either one of those things. He either moves and says, now you just rest in this one. The battle's not yours, it's mine. I'm going to take care of this. So a person can be healed before we even step up to them. Because you're a son and daughter of inheritance, you're taking the risk, so now watch me show off. Or there are times where we go and we engage and he moves through us and we command in the authority that we have in Christ and the person gets set free. So there's both models. There's either or. That's why you can have, as we had last night, those two people set free from from depression. Because that was God simply moving in an arena And he was moving because of inheritance, sons and daughters of inheritance. So we were resting by praising, and he was moving independent. Nobody went and laid hands on him. So that's either or. It's always those two models. God moves through us to show us the authority we carry, or he moves independently because we're resting, because he says, this battle's not yours, it's mine. And just by stepping up to a person, they can be healed. And they can say, and here's what would happen. Well, you know what? I had a lot of pain in my body, but it just went. There. God just took care of it. And it happened because you're a son and daughter of inheritance. Any other questions?
What are the colors yellow and white mean? White
usually has to do with purity. And yellow is always, or in my case, I always see yellow as anointing.
What about green?
Green is healing. Yeah, so whenever I would, I close my eyes and I'd be asking the Lord about a situation, and then all of a sudden, with my eyes closed, my entire vision would become this bright green color. So whatever I was praying about, green means what? Healing, but it also means go. Right? Got red light, green light. So what I was asking the Lord for, he gave me the green light to go because he wanted to heal. And that is for you. So here's what I would say the Lord's saying to you is that you're going to have encounters today where you're going to call forth. You may walk up to somebody who's a prostitute, and what you're going to do is you're going to speak the purity of heaven into their lives. So you're going to deliver them from shame and guilt so they know who they are in Christ. And then Holy Spirit will give you the anointing that's on their lives. They could have a healing anointing. They could be one that's God's going to flow through them prophetically, very strongly. So I would say in your case, based on your intention, stepping in risk, look for people standing beside yellow flowers in the garden section at Walmart. So it will. That's a good highlight. Any other questions? Everybody clear? Clarity is power, right? Remember we said that yesterday?
One more.
Yeah.
Color. What about silver?
Silver is, tried as silver. It's a purifying color. So if you see silver over somebody, I think they're probably going through some difficult time. So what you want to do is you don't, if God shows you something and tells you something about him, you don't repeat that to them. You don't, I didn't, with a girl with a Masonic symbol, her father was 33 degree, I just said, how did I end her in? That's an awesome tattoo. Right? We want to bring gold. We're not, you know, if you want to find dirt, watch CNN and Fox News. Okay? What we are, we're gold diggers. So we are out on the streets looking for the gold in people's lives. And how do we know there's gold in people's lives? The Father put the gold in them. And the devil's been stealing, killing, and destroying, covering up that gold. So we're stepping into the valley of dry bones, R-I-S-K, and we're calling forth the gold in people's lives. And if they don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter. God will heal them anyway. The best, if you make this a lifestyle, this is just like a, not a one-time event. Because what you do today, you can do all the time. Very nonchalantly. When you go shopping, you know, when you're at Walmart doing the stuff you got to do for yourself, it just becomes a lifestyle. I mean, I walked up to a guy, a husband and wife. They were like, you could tell. Well, I knew I had a knowing. So I had a discerning of spirits that he had heart issues. And he was looking, and they were standing by bananas. So then, you know, okay, so how do I engage this couple? Well, it just like popped into my mind. There you go, Holy Spirit. I walked over, and I made a joke. And here's the joke I made. Bananas, man, you know what? And I just started talking. I said, bananas. My mother used to make me eat them because she always would tell me, you need bananas because you have a potassium-starved liver. So the guy turns around and he starts laughing. I'm in. So I ended up praying for both of them. Word of knowledge, he did have a heart condition. Other thing I found out, they had really bad diabetes. So I called forth a new pancreas from the organ room in heaven into that man's body. I haven't seen him again. I don't know if God did it, but you know what? I prayed it, and I believe. So when he goes to his doctor checks his sugar, he's going to say, what happened to you? Then he's going to remember the funny joke by the bananas, because Holy Spirit will bring it back to him. Any other questions? So it's just you're courageous, but you don't have to worry. You just got to trust. And here's the principle: we're releasing kingdom currency, joy, and we'll always get blessed in the process. And when we release that kingdom currency, it changes atmospheres. Amen. All right, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, one thing I want you to do now is just put your hands out, because I'm going to pray. Because what this takes is what they prayed for in Acts verse 4. Boldness. And they had just got filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter got up, preached the sermon of his lifetime. 3,000 souls came to Jesus. And then they were back praying again because Peter got thrown in prison. And they prayed that they would speak God's word with boldness. And a deposit realm of God's words was released through boldness.
Hallelujah!
Yeah, amen. So, Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for these courageous ones, Holy Spirit, that you have called here, that have been drawn by your goodness, and they've responded in obedience. And Father, as they were gathered together in the room in Acts 4, well, Lord, we've come to the door of 4 for more. So I'm asking, Holy Spirit, for you to breathe on these your people. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for a fresh anointing of boldness. In Jesus' name, boldness be released. Boldness set your heart on fire. Boldness make, in the name of Jesus, such a fire in you that it cannot be contained. Let it leak out. Let it set the captives free. For the glory of the risen King and for his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And so, Father, we believe and we know, as we have asked, so it is released in the name of Jesus. Boldness for Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Whew, okay. So what we're going to do now is we're all going to drive over and we're going to meet outside of the garden part of Walmart. And we're going to break up into teams of two. Now, I got Ron Gibson here is my pastor friend from Georgia. He'll be a team leader. And I got George and Jonathan. There'll be other team leaders. Ashley and Josh, they can also be a team leader. So just go with one of these guys, and then if you're unsure, just follow and listen. Now, when you walk up to somebody, don't gang up. You don't you don't want to scare them. You're standing there and like six people come up. Because normally, six people stand around against guys. He's going to say, by the fact that that happened, he's going to say for sure the pain is gone. Or dig in or he'll fall down and have a heart attack. Then you'll have to raise somebody from the dead. That'd be fun. So just remember, love, mercy, and before you touch anybody, ask permission and engage and have fun. Because this is fun. This is the power of the gospel, and the gospel is good news, and this is fun. You're going to have a blast. Yeah. It's normal. That's exactly it. So
I bet you're going to have a divine appointment at every single one of your stops.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, so when Holy Spirit gives you something specific, remember everybody. What's everybody looking for today? What's the people that Holy Spirit has already preordained and arranged this before the foundation of time. Think about that one for 5 minutes to make your brain explode. So what's the people that Holy Spirit has set up in divine appointment today, what are they looking for? Their love and acceptance. They're looking, and here's a real easy one. Hey, Marge, man, let me tell you, you're awesome. Affirmation. Gold, we're digging for gold, right? Everybody wants to be told they're awesome. Yeah, brother.
One more thing. I've prayed for a lot of people, and I've seen with my eyes, I've evidenced fewer healed in front of me than not. But everyone that I've prayed for was overjoyed and extremely touched by the fact that I noticed.
Yes,
I noticed them, that they were noticed. They walk away, whether they're healed or not, they walk away grateful at least that someone noticed them, that they're not just walking through life. That was the love, and in that moment, that's maybe enough. That might be what they need. Who knows what happens when they go home at night and they wake up the next morning made new?
Who are we?
Who are we? We're the hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So, the sister said, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. Christ in us, Christ through us. So we are Jesus. And so he's going to flow through us. And people get set free. So let's go over, what time is it? We'll head to Walmart. It's 11:19 already. Wow, okay. So let's do this then. Let's everybody try and have one encounter. So you can do it as a group. It's not going to take this much time. And then what I want to do is come back here and just release the testimonies, because it'll build your faith, and by hearing the testimonies of other people, and by stepping and doing RISK, stepping in faith, this will build your faith, and it'll make it a lifestyle, so that when you go leave Selma, and go back to wherever you're from, is that it won't become an event, it'll become a lifestyle. Because this is a lifestyle, people of God. It's a lifestyle. It's we're walking in obedience to the command of Christ. Go teach, preach, and baptize. Bring heaven to earth. And this is how we do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we'll all meet over there. So there's your captains. You got these two guys. So there's a dual team. There's a team. Ron's got a team, and I'll be a team. So you got four team leaders, okay? And then just look for it. Let's do one encounter per team so we can go over there quick, come back, and release a testimony. Yes? One encounter and come back, okay? And then we'll just give God glory, pray,